Here's what's coming up on today's episode of Your Tagline Here.
I'm neurodiverse. I'm dyslexic. I struggled in college growing up and in school because neurodiversity wasn't a big thing back then. So I used to tell myself that I wasn't intelligent, I wasn't good enough, and all these stories compound. You don't literally say these things to yourself, but you think these things to yourself. And this is a story that you replay in your head. So I would say I'm very confident. I know I'm smart. I'm an academic. I teach in universities. But the thing is, because of these stories that I told myself and the lack of confidence, I think I'm a bit of a slow starter in the progression of success in my life. And I just want people to really take note of the subconscious stories they tell themselves that either limit them or propel them.
Hello, my name's Simon Tomlinson, and welcome to the third episode of Your Tagline Here. This is a weekly podcast sharing real stories from real people. Each week, I will interview a new guest to find out who they are and what their story is. And at the end of every episode, I'll be asking the guest to provide their tagline for the episode to summarise their story into a short sentence that we can all remember it by. If you enjoy the episode, please do give us a like and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the future content. Also, if you have any questions for myself or today's guest, then you can leave them in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or send us an email to hello@yourtaglinehere.com. Our guest for this episode is Natalie Edwards Yusufu, who is a life coach and also runs an organisation called the Transition Stage Company, which is a multidiscipline production company specialising in event, film and theatre production. She's here today to talk to us about the stories that we tell ourselves and how this can have an impact on our lives. But before we speak to Natalie, I would just like to mention our sponsor, KitLab, which is a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK. KitLab have over 15 years of experience specialising in branding, websites, search engine optimization, paid advertising, social media and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kitlab.com, which is KIKLAB.com. Okay, without further ado, let's meet Natalie. Hello, Natalie. How are you? Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So as I introduced at the beginning, you are here to talk about stories, which is such a relevant topic to be talking about because that's what this podcast is all about. It's about stories. But rather than people telling their stories to the world, this is more about the stories that we tell to ourselves, which I think is a fascinating topic, and it goes into the realms of mental health, and that's a topic which is of great interest to me. So can you just tell me, for yourself, what were the stories that you used to tell yourself in the past, and what was the impact of those stories on your life?
Well, you don't really tell themselves. The stories are subconscious. So for instance, I'm a creative, I'm an actress and producer. And when I was growing up watching TV, there wasn't much representation of me. So therefore, when I'm watching TV or watching the kind of things that I want to be in as a child or a teenager, I'm thinking, if there's no one that looks like me, there must be something wrong with me. Either I'm not attractive enough, I haven't got the right look, my African-centric appearances are not good enough. And because I did not see myself reflected on TV or, you know, in the media, you tell yourself a story that you're not right or you're not good enough. And also, I'm neurodiverse. I'm dyslexic. I struggled in college growing up and in school because neurodiversity wasn't a big thing back then. So I used to tell myself that I wasn't intelligent, I wasn't good enough, and all these stories compound. You don't literally say these things to yourself, but you think these things to yourself. And this is a story that you replay in your head. So I would say I'm very confident. I know I'm smart. I'm an academic. I teach in universities. But the thing is, because of these stories that I told myself and the lack of confidence, I think I'm a bit of a slow starter in the progression of success in my life. And I just want people to really take note of the subconscious stories they tell themselves that limit, either limit them or propel them.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you say there, because it's not like... We have stories that are going around in our head all the time about things that we tell ourselves, but we don't often realise that those tapes and that narrative is playing until we sort of stop and take notice of it. And like you were saying, it can be very heavily influenced by things that are going on around us. So like you were saying, with your upbringing and not being many people of Afro-Caribbean descent in the arts, that can have a big impact. And as well with dyslexia and making you feel like you're not intelligent, all of those things, when those tapes are played over and over again, that can have a big impact.
It's like a reaffirmation of what you think already, you know, and really it's more nuanced than that, you know. So if you already have an image of yourself already, that's not enough. Sometimes it's easier for little blips and blobs to jump on top of that thought in your head already, and it's so subconscious. And, you know, this is why it's so important to have therapy. You know, when you meet a lot of people and you think they're not confident, or you look, have you ever met someone and thought, gosh, you've got everything going for you, and they don't even realise it? It's crazy. Yeah. It's because there's obviously a different story, a narrative in their head, and it's all subjective, or objective, one of the ones. But, you know, the only way to combat this is to surround yourself for people to surround yourself around people that reaffirm the life that you want or what you want to be.
Yeah, and well, that brings me on to the next question is, how did you realise that you were playing these negative stories in your head? What was the thing that made you realise that you needed to change what those stories were and what that narrative was?
It's drip by drip. For me, I'm very lucky. I'm a very curious person. You know, I'm from Birmingham, I'm from the north, not from the city. I'm from like a little village on the outskirts of North Birmingham. And you know, there's not many outgoing people like me. Most people I know stay where they are. But lucky for me, I've always had that curiosity. What's next? What else? You know, what else is there? So I'm very good at networking and meeting people. And every person that you meet leaves a blueprint on you. And the more people that I met, the more that I realise actually there's no difference between these people. And then when you meet people, then you get opportunities, drip by drip, they reaffirm that actually I'm okay, I'm good at this. You know, I'm smart, I'm getting good grades, I'm not stupid, I'm attractive, I'm getting asked to do modeling jobs and acting jobs. And bit by bit, you reaffirm these things for you. But sometimes some people don't get the opportunity. But lucky for me, I think because I've got a positive outlook in life, it was easy for me to step into those situations. But also, I think people should really invest in therapy. Or how can you look at, you could look at it like this. Say if you really want something really bad, or you want a certain career, or you want a job, you have to look at yourself and think, why can't I have that? Or if you, or when I'm talking to people, I'm coaching people, I always say to them, if you are triggered by someone's jealousy, it's an inadequacy in yourself that you need to revisit. So you need to revisit them things within your mind and ask yourself, why can't I have them? And then research the stories that you're telling yourself.
What you're saying about having therapy can be a very good way of having someone else to be able to look at yourself with a different pair of eyes and hear the sort of things that you're saying and be able to give you the advice on whether you are telling yourself positive things or whether you're telling yourself negative things. Because sometimes when it's all of those thoughts that are just going round and round in your head, it can be difficult to see the wood for the trees.
Of course it is. And also as well, it can tip both ways. If you're a person who's happened to be in an abusive relationship or been in a workplace that's been terrible, sometimes that negative upturn, that momentum of negativity and reinforcement that you're not good can exceed and take a big step and affect your mental health. It's about turning that momentum into something positive, that no, you can do that. And it's really interesting. I don't know if you've been watching tennis, Naomi Osaka, you know, do you know about it?
Yeah, I do. But please explain, because there might be people listening who don't know about it.
So Naomi Osaka is the second best tennis player in the world. She makes $52 million a year playing tennis. And I'm not sure which tennis tournament it was.
Yeah, it's the French Open.
The French Open, that's right.
Yeah.
And she said that she could only play tennis because she has extreme anxiety and she cannot do any press interviews because she's scared it'd be detrimental on their mental health. The tournament said, if you don't do the press interviews or the meetings or any PR, you're going to be fined and you could be kicked out of the tournament. This fantastic sportswoman turned around and said no, she walked. And I applaud her for that because she knew.
Yeah.
You know, I applaud her for that because she took care of the momentum of her mental health. Because if she would have stayed and did these PR talks and interviews, knowing that it would have made her unwell, it would have sent her on a momentum of negativity. So you have to protect your mental health and go and move forward of the momentum of positivity and wellness.
Yeah, and I think it's, well, I feel sad for her because she's had to pull out of a tournament that she wants to play and she's one of the best in the world, so she's got an opportunity to win it, but she's pulled out because the authorities within the game say you have to do the press conferences. So I feel sad for her from that point of view, but I also applaud her for what she's doing because she's standing up for herself and she's saying, no, my mental health is more important. And I hope that things like this will help to change the way that mental health is viewed in the world. And I think that what she's doing will make a difference in the game of tennis, and hopefully that will overflow into other sports as well.
You know, it's really interesting. I saw a meme on Instagram the other day, and it said, if you don't take care of your wellness, take time for your wellness, you're going to have to take time for your illness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just thought it just hit the nail on the head. And it all comes to, and I think she told herself a story, which was a positive story, to protect her mental health. She stepped away to protect her mental health. You know, imagine how many people just keep on plowing forward, knowing that it's going to make them ill or it's going to be detrimental to their health. And she told herself a story that her mental health was more important. I don't think she did this on purpose. I know we're going off topic now, but I don't think Naomi Osaka turned around and said, I'm going to be a protest. I think she was just doing it for her own well-being, and it's just become a big thing. So yeah, it's about getting, it's about telling yourself new stories, protecting your mental health, and putting yourself on the right momentum.
Yeah, definitely. And I just want to come back now, what you were saying about therapy. Because I do agree with you that I think therapy is very important for people to have. And I've had in my life a few different types. And one of the types of therapy which I think is really helpful for this kind of thing is cognitive behavioural therapy. Because what that really does, it gives people a structure where you can actually start to realise what your thoughts are, write them down, and then consciously try to find counter arguments to whatever those thoughts are. So if your thought is, I'm never going to get into a relationship and find someone and fall in love, then you would write that down, and then write down, well, what are all of the counter arguments to that? And then that's a way of giving ourselves a structure of finding what those positive stories are.
You know, that's really interesting, because I have I have some people I work with, and you know, some women, I know women as well, that say, because I'm overweight, I cannot find love, which is a lie. And that is a story they tell themselves, and they step into that story. So eventually, because they feel like they're overweight and they're not attractive, they tell themselves they can't meet a person who will love them for who they are. And then it manifests, you know, and it goes back to, when I do coaching, I'm a trained actress. I use a lot of acting techniques to coach and mentor some of my students. And for instance, when you're acting, you're pretending to be someone else. You're not pretending to be someone else. You are pretending You are being the person, you're being that person, but acting truthfully. So for instance, if I was doing a biopic and playing Whitney Houston, obviously I don't know her, but all I can do is my impression of her, which is believable. So therefore it's my truth. Does that make sense? So you're stepping into that version of you. So for instance, when I started my entrepreneurial journey, I'm a creative, I used to be a model. I used to think I do not deserve to be here. I do not deserve to be here. Why did I tell my story? Because I didn't. Because I hadn't got a fintech company. Because my company was not a financial company. I felt that my production and performing arts company does not deserve to be here. And I used to tell myself this story. And also embedded in that story was a story from my dyslexia days that I'm not intelligent enough. I don't deserve to be here. It layers, you know, all these things laying. You don't even realize they're there. And one day, my mentor said something to me that made the penny drop. And he said, You're an actress, right? You've performed in front of thousands of people. You've done a BBC show. You went to one of the best schools in the world. When you do your pitch, actually, what does a woman look like that is a successful entrepreneur, and how does she speak? And I went, I conjured these images in my head, and I said, she does this, she does that, she does that. And he went, that's you already. And then the penny dropped. The thing is, you are that person. You've just got to step into that person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I told myself a story that I am an entrepreneur, even though of course I am. And then I got up in front of 100 people and I pitched. I pitched my production company, I pitched my event, and it flew off my tongue like clockwork, like I was doing a Shakespeare play in the RSC or something like that. But I was so confident. It's because I told myself a new story. And I realized, why am I telling myself these limiting stories?
I'm glad that you had that moment of breakthrough from your mentor providing you with that advice. So what was the actual practical way of telling yourself that story? Were you just consciously like running it over and over in your head like a like an affirmation?
No, you don't even know. It's so subconscious. Okay, think of a time where you've not been confident, right? Have you really, say if you walk into a room or you feel unconfident. Everyone feels unconfident when they're doing something for the first time. Understand why you feel unconfident. No one takes a step and walks into a room and just becomes present. Do you not think, stand there and in your stillness and think, why do I feel unconfident? Why do I feel unconfident? Sometimes, yes, it's okay to feel unconfident when you're having a driving lesson and you've never drove before. That's normal. But, you know, if you have a strange fear of public speaking, why do you have this monkey brain in your head telling that you can't speak when you are probably an articulate person, you run a business, you speak to, you probably have 30 people under, you have 30 people that, you know, work underneath you, and you feel underconfident. Sometimes it's just a really silly little thing. And sometimes you might have to go and revisit it to have therapy. But you just have to override these limiting thoughts and just move forward.
Yeah, so what are the stories that you now tell yourself?
So, I tell myself I'm confident, I'm smart, yeah. I'm articulate. Before I became a producer, because I was an actress before, I wasn't really that good at handling money, because money, when you're a freelancer and you're creative, money comes, and most creatives aren't business-minded. But when I became a producer and I started working for films and organising big productions with big budgets, everything lies in you as a producer. So you have to make sure you budget everything and you know how to handle money. And I had to tell myself a new story. I had to tell myself, I can handle money and I can understand all this. And then when you tell yourself a new story that you can handle money because you have to, you've got no choice to, you subconsciously step into that and you have a new belief. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
You have to challenge yourself and step out of your comfort zone so much that your subconscious accepts that you can do the next thing. So think of the thing that you want to do, or the thing that you're scared to do, or the stories that are limiting you from moving forward, and put yourself in the position out of your comfort zone to grow. So for instance, I had a client that said to me, I'm not fit, I can't run. And I said to that person, get to the gym every day and put yourself in that position, or a class every day and put yourself in that position. So you have to do it. And if you do it enough, if you do put yourself in that situation enough and keep doing it, eventually it's habit, isn't it? You know, we've got the monkey brain. Eventually our head will go to you. You are fit, you can do it. And you just have to amalgamate that mindset with everything else. You know, human beings aren't that complicated. The mind isn't that complicated. You know, that's why cognitive therapy works and NLP works. Sometimes the problem is with sometimes limited story. Sometimes you might not know where that limited story came from. And that's why therapy is important. Or if you've had some kind of child trauma, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be child trauma. You could have been bullied when you were younger about being short, you know, hypothetically. And that could have stuck in your head. I'm short, so I can't do this. I can't do that. And sometimes getting a therapist can help you, or someone does cognitive therapy can help you pinpoint where this little nugget of limiting belief and story started. And then you build on it from there. So sometimes it's not as easy as stepping into the room going, why am I nervous? Because sometimes it can be so deep inside. And again, I'm going back to the pendulum and the momentum. It's sometimes you can have a limiting thought and then have loads of little negative incidents that happen in your life that compound it and pile on and pile on. So sometimes I would say to everyone, invest in therapy, because sometimes you might have an epiphany and work something out and go, oh, and then you'll know it's there. You'll have your awareness, and then it will click, and the switch will click, and you'll heal that part of your life and that story, and you'll be able to move forward.
So you mentioned that you're a life coach, and you've also talked about therapy. So I'm interested to know, what is the difference between therapy and coaching?
Therapy and coaching is totally different practices. A therapist is someone — I'm not a therapist. A therapist is — I couldn't even tell you because I'm not a therapist. A therapist is someone who works through your problems, goes back and works through your problems. It's a different trade. I'm a qualified life coach. I don't life coach as such, but when I'm teaching at universities, or I'm producing, or I'm coaching my mentors one-on-one, I do use some of the life coaching teachings within my sessions. But the difference between coaching and therapy — coaching is about moving forward and guiding. Therapy is about searching and healing.
So it sounds like therapy is going back into the past and looking at how things have affected you from the past, and coaching is more about the present and going forward. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say with coaching, it's a bit like someone — okay, I would say coaching is about you telling someone where you want to go, and then pulling out what you already know to take you there. We just guide you. We don't tell you what to do, we guide you. So if I was to coach you and you said you want to do this and you want to do that, and I'd be like, what's stopping you? What do you like doing? And then we'll amalgamate it and make you move forward. I would not tell you what to do. You would know what to do, but I'll pull that information out of you from an objective viewpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. That's all very interesting stuff. And I think it's...
Yeah, and also, sorry to say that, and also as well, with a coach... Going back to what I said before, it's about pulling you out of your comfort zone and taking you to the next level. So a coach should really reaffirm the stories that you want to tell yourself and give you help you put yourself in situations to move forward and step into that person.
So I know that we've covered quite a lot of stuff already in the conversation, but just to kind of like summarise, if someone was to come to you and to say, I want to change the way that I talk to myself, I want to change the things that are going on in my head, what are the things that I can do to make those changes?
Okay, first of all, I would say to you, write down who you would like to be, what you want, what are your aspirations, and then write down somewhere else why you can't have them. Yeah? Then you can work out why you can't have them. What are the stories you're telling yourself? And then the section where you're saying where you want to be, so the person you want to be, or the career, or the aspiration you want to be, you slowly work out how you want to get there. So for me personally, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to have a business. So I put myself in situations, incubators, mentors, education, to help me get into that step. And step into that version of me.
Yeah, that sounds like really good advice. I think taking some time to really write it down and put a plan together of where you want to go, and also surrounding yourself with people that can help you as well.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily surrounding yourself with people that can help you. That's great, but surround yourself with the people that you want to be like. You know, if you want to, you know, you have to do things that reaffirm your reality of what you want. You know, if you want to be a mechanic, you're not going to be in a bakery, aren't you? You want to be around people. It's just as simple as that. It's just taking steps into that version of you. And also, if you feel like there's blocks that are not moving, you go to therapy, work backwards, and then move forward. It's about giving yourself a full life gut.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you. Before I ask you the final question, which is to give the tagline for the episode, I just want to find out a little bit about the Transition Stage Company. Can you tell me what that is and what stuff you've got scheduled coming up quite soon? Because it's really exciting.
Yeah. Okay. There's two versions of me. You've got me, who's a mentor and the coach. I teach at universities. And then you have me with my production company. And I have a writing gala. I have a production film company, Transition Stage Company, as you mentioned. But I have two script writing galas where people submit scripts, like they submit scripts to film festivals like the Cannes and Tribeca. But this one's based in the UK. So people submit scripts for a fee. The scripts get judged. And the top five finalist scripts get put into red carpet gala. It's like an X Factor for writers. The scripts are performed high spec, and we have a judging panel from BBC, UK TV, Hippodrome. And the best writer wins £1,000 and gets picked up by a TV station, or, you know, gets a contract somewhere. So that's what we have at the moment. And usually we have events every year. We have up to 200, 300 people in the audience. The audience also gets to judge for the best script as well. But this year, because of the pandemic, we don't know if we're going to have a live event. But my aspiration for this theatre script writing production was to have it formatted for TV. And I thought that would happen 10 or 5 years down a line. But because of the pandemic, it's actually brought that dream a reality closer, because I am filming it online. I'm filming it online, but because I'm filming it online and I've got, you know, judges from BBC, I can actually film it as if it was a TV format, like an X Factor for writers on TV. So it's really exciting, and we have that in production. And I'll put links and stuff, you know, I'm sure Simon will. You can find out what we do.
Yeah, definitely. I will leave links to everything in the show notes and in the YouTube description. So if anyone wants to find out more about it, then you can click on it and go to the website. And I did actually come along to one of your events a few years ago, which was at the Birmingham Rep Theatre, which was an excellent event. And I'm really pleased how it's grown and become a massive success from there. And especially with, taking advantage of the situation that we're in at the moment, and hopefully giving you a springboard to being able to get it on TV, because, it sounds like a fantastic thing for people to get involved in.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we've helped so many writers. You know, imagine you're a writer, you've been trying to... It's really difficult to be a creative in the West, even the West Midlands, yes, but in the UK and the whole. So, you know, if you're a good writer, all you need is visibility. All you need is that one person to see how good you are. And I give that platform. So say if you're good writing, you submit your script and it got to the final, you've got the biggest eyes in the industry, the screen industry, is looking at what you do. And this year we've got judges globally, judges that work with Netflix, judges that have won Emmys and Oscars, you know, judges that work with BBC, as directors who... So last year, the person who won, one of the judges who directs with BBC and various TV shows, is actually making his script into a short film because she loved it that much. So imagine you're Joe Bloggs and you've been trying for like 20, 30 years. You just get that one break of my competition if you're seen.
I think it's an amazing idea, and I hope that lots of people get involved, and I hope it really takes off for you with getting it televised as well. So good luck for the future. Now, the final question that I'm going to ask you is, what is your tagline for your story about stories?
Tell yourself a better story for a better life.
Nice. Yeah, I really like that. It summarizes it perfectly.
Yeah, I hope that made sense in this. You know, it's pretty deep.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on and talking about it, because I think that it's a really important subject to talk about, because it's mental health. A lot of people are finding it tough with mental health, especially at the moment with the pandemic that we're going through. So these conversations that we're having about it makes it, it removes the taboo of mental health that there's been in the past. There is still a bit of a stigma around it. So the more that we can have these conversations, the better. And also the more that people hear about other people's journeys through it, then it gives them the encouragement and the motivation to try and make changes in their lives to improve the way that they feel. So, yeah, amazing. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Simon.
Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. I hope that you really enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, then please do give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. Next week, we're going to be talking to Rudolf about how he made a big change to his career and became a professional photographer. So I will see you there next week.